राम राम हरे हरे,
श्री श्रीमान दवाएं वैसे श्री भक्ति विनंत स्वामी श्री लोगों का हरि की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बिंदु की इस कॉन्फाउंड चार्ज श्री लोगों का हरि की प्रेम से को श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु ने चिनंद से अद्वैत गराठ शिव सरि गो भक्ति बिंदु की श्री श्री राधे कृष्ण को गोपीनाथ स्वयं कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गो वदन की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री नवदीप धाम की जय गंगमाई की जय यमुनामाई की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी देवी की जय समवेद भक्त बिंदु की जय ओ ग्लोरियस समुद्र हरे कृष्ण ओ ग्लोरियस समुद्र
हरे कृष्ण
ओ ग्लोरियस समुद्र
हरे कृष्ण
ओ ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु गौरांग निताय गौर प्रेमानंद हरे हरे Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastai Uttale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Phenomena Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharya Vastasya Sinavaya Shkati Vesitare I hope everyone feels happy and is also well rested and is ready to go. Prabhu Gandiva. Everyone take one paper. Want to hand that pack to the Mataji's Gandiva. And yeah, take some more. And when you get it, do something very simple. Fold it into four, such as this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Very simple. Now, we're not going to have you make aeroplanes. I'll tell you that now. And then in each of the four sections over there, just put on. Don't do it yet. Okay, why don't we put on the stati? Let's see. So selfless. This is the beginning of the funnel. Aniruddha Prabhu. We'll need you for a little bit of an explanation now, just in a moment. Okay, hit the... So you have to keep your eye on me. Okay. Who... Does anyone recognize this very famous little chart? What is it? Huh? The priorities, yes. And this is... there's quadrants there, right? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. And number your page there, 1, 2, 3, 4 in each of the quadrants over there. Now, Aniruddha Prabhu will explain. You know this? You've seen this? Everyone's seen this. Okay, Aniruddha Prabhu, could you take a minute to explain? That's quadrant one. Wait, want to explain a little about that one?
The idea of the quadrants is to identify those things which one should focus on. Ideally, one should be trying to focus on quadrant two. And to put that in a little bit of perspective, we can have a look at the other two. In quadrant three, we've got items that are urgent but not important. And in quadrant four, we've got items which are not important and not urgent.
Which is tends to be where we spend our time.
So, if we're looking at our time and where we should focus our efforts, it's easy to work out what we should be doing. The first area that we should place our attention in is those items which are urgent and important. Crises, problems, deadline-driven projects, as it mentions up there. You know, the things that could lose you your job, or the things that you could lose your life.
They demand full attention instantaneously, basically.
What tends to happen is those items that are important but not urgent, they're the areas where we really should be paying our attention, because if we put our effort into those areas, then very often we deal with the important and urgent before they happen. Whereas those items which are not important but urgent will press us, will try to steal away our time. And of course, those items which are not important and not urgent, we can just forget about them. Or we should forget about them. So the idea is, in this, in the four quadrants, is to analyse our efforts and try to, as much as possible, deal with the important and urgent things first and foremost, because we have to deal with them, but then focus on those items which are important, although not urgent, because very often those activities, as is mentioned here, preparation, prevention, values, clarification, planning, relationship building, having a rest occasionally. I think Stephen Covey calls it sharpening the saw in order to work more efficiently and more effectively. One's recommended to concentrate on the second quadrant, because that's where you can build the most power to deal with the other aspects of life.
Okay, thank you. You just saved $500. That was on your management seminar in 2 minutes. But in any case, what I want you to do, and don't worry, you have 6 minutes to do it, is organize your life right now. Just start writing down your concerns, your needs, your desires, your duties, your fears, etc., and place them, and don't worry, we're not going to collect them and analyze them, but this is but I want you to write down all the elements of your life that are important to you, including these type of a thing, and put them in these four quadrants. Go, do it. 6 minutes, and perhaps I'll give you another 30 seconds. And if you don't have a pen, I don't know what to say, other than I may have an extra one. Gandhi. But I need it back there if you finish. Another 2 minutes, easily enough time. Just another minute. Raise your hand if you need another 15 seconds. Because that's all you're going to get. Okay, 30 seconds. When it beeps, it's over. Okay, it's almost over. Okay. Now, raise your hand if you think that your list and your life as you wrote it down was relatively simple, and the other alternative is going to be relatively complicated. Raise your hand, all those whose lives are sort of simple. Okay, one, two, this. Okay, complicated. Raise your hand. Mine's complicated. Okay, what was yours? So some of those. How come your whole life is in the earthen category? Okay. Now, we're going to use these later. There's something very important we're going to do with these. But for now, just fold it up and put it somewhere where you remember where it is. And now we're ready to begin part two of this presentation. Okay. Now, there's going to be some Bhagavad Gita coming forward, but here we go. You should recognize that. Funneling of desire. Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, verses 1 and 2. We're going to look at those right now. So here's the first verse in the 15th chapter. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Odvan Odva Mulam Adashakam Ashvatam Praho Avyayam Chandasmi Yasya Parnani. Parnani, does anyone know the meaning of Parnani? It means leaves. Chandasmi Yasya Parnani. The chandas, or the Vedic hymns, are the leaves. And Yastam Veda Savedavit. What does Vedavit mean? Know the Vedas. So Yastam Veda Savedavit. So if someone, that last line means that if you know the elements of this verse, you're actually understanding the Vedas. The first line, Udva Mulam. Udva means upward. Mulam, the roots of this Vedic tree, they go in which direction? Upward. Ada, downward. Shakam, the branches are downward. The roots, you have to envision it, the roots are upward and the branches are down. Aswatam prahu avyam. Of this aswatam, or we usually translate that as a banyan tree, the roots of this banyan tree or asat tree are going upwards and the branches downward, and it is everlasting, eternal, avyayam, upwards and downwards. Okay, now we'll look at the translation here, Srila Prabhupada's translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is said, Prabhu, that there is an imperishable avyayam, aswat, banyan tree, that has its roots upward. What's the Sanskrit for the roots upward? Odvam mulam, and its branches downward, adashakam, and whose leaves, tandasmi, are the Vedic hymns. Next. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So, the Vedas, with its thousands and thousands of verses, in one sense are compressed into this one verse, which is very esoteric. It is a sutra. But the entirety of the Vedic knowledge is there. That the branches, very simple, the branches are downward and the roots are upward. And the Vedic hymns are the, what? Leaves. What is the meaning of this? Next. Second verse. Adas chodvam prasritas tasya saka guna pravrita visaya pravala adas chamulani anu santatani kama anu bandhini manushaloke. The branches of this tree, oh, just go to the next one. the branches of this tree, more about the branches. Adachurvam, the branches of this tree extend downward and upward. Upward and downward the branches are going. It is an aswat tree. It is a banyan tree. And what is making them go downward and upward? The three modes of material nature. They are nourished. They are fed by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. So that which is on the branches is the twigs. And the Vedic hymns are the leaves. So see this banyan tree. It is very complicated. It is upside down. The branches are down, the roots are upward. Now, does that... Well, we already know what's going on here because we've read the Bhagavad Gita. Next. This tree also has roots going down, and they are bound to the fruit of actions of human society. So there are humans on this tree as well, because the humans, they have the special facility to take advantage of the Vedic literature. And they can move on this tree downwards and upwards if, as the Vedas prescribe, they follow the fruit of activities, the fruit of actions that the Vedas prescribe, they can move upward on that tree, higher. Or, if they perform fruit of actions that are that are not appropriate, they can move downward on the tree. They are bound. And there is one. That's a big one. Upwards, downwards, complicated. You can't tell where it begins and you can't tell where it ends, this tree. Here is a short part of Srila Prabhupada's lengthy purport to the first verse. Now, there is no ready experience. We don't usually experience in this world a tree situated with its branches down and its roots upward. But there is such a thing. That tree can be found beside a reservoir of water. And there it is. There's the branches downward in the reflection. And the roots are upward. We can see, this is from Prabhupada's purport, we can see that on the trees, on the bank reflected upon the water with their branches down and roots up. Another one. So there is a very profound implication in Krishna's words, as one would expect. Prabhupada's purport. In other words, the tree of this material world is only a reflection of the real tree of the spiritual world. Okay. It's only a reflection. The tree of this world is a reflection of reality. A reflection. We know what a reflection is. Can you see the parts of the fruit that are the reflection? Okay. In case you couldn't, it will help you out a little bit. Now, just imagine how difficult it will be to find happiness if we can't tell the difference between the reflected fruit and the real fruit. If we're always grasping, we're thirsty, we're hungry, we want some fruit, we want something to satisfy us, and we keep grasping at the reflection, how frustrated we will become, and how hungry we will actually will experience so much hunger for the real thing, but we don't know. The reflection resembles in so many ways the real thing, but it doesn't have substance. You can't shake the hand of the reflected person. It is the real person who is the real person. It is not the reflection. Now, here is the very important picture or painting of this situation of the banyan tree being the reflection of the real tree. And what is the real tree? The banyan tree has its roots going upward and its branches down because it's a reflection. But the real tree is the spiritual world with Krishna. Now, the Bhagavad Gita in the 13th chapter explains this in a wonderful way, the situation of in the material world. In the 13th chapter, in the 20th verse, Krishna says, material nature and the living entities, that means the souls and the material nature in this picture, this the whole bottom part is material nature over here, that the material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of the material nature. Nature is said, this is the 21st verse, nature is said to be the cause of material suffering, of material causes and effects, whereas the living entity, now listen to this one carefully, nature is said to be the cause of all material causes and effects. There is so much that goes on in this, the bottom part over here. We try to do something, something happens to us, we exert our effort, and we get some result or another result, or we don't exert any effort and some result comes to us. And this is all caused by what? According to the verse. By material nature. Everything that goes on in the reflection is the material nature. But Krishna continues and says, but the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this material world. Very interesting that everything is going on not by ourselves, kartaham, we think I am the doer, but it's going on by the power of material nature, and we don't have anything to do with it on one level, but yet Krishna is saying that we cause our suffering and enjoyment. It's almost contradictory. And then in 22, a very important verse, Purusha Prakriti Stohi. Does anyone know that verse? I quote it all the time. Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunkte Prakriti Janiha Karanam Guna Sangasya Sarasajoni Janmasu. Purusha, the living entity situated in the material nature, Bhunkte Prakriti Jan, he's trying to enjoy the reflection. He's situated in material energy, Bhunkte Prakriti Jan, trying to enjoy what in the tree was the sense objects? The twigs. He's jumping around, trying to enjoy this twig, that twig, that twig, that twig, that twig. And we spend our whole life, but even more than that, we spend eternity jumping from one branch of the banyan tree of the material existence to another. And we neglect
reality because we're absorbed fully in the reflection and we're frustrated because there is no taste in the fruit of the reflection. Go to the next one, please. Now, Prabhupada's purport continues. This reflection of the spiritual world is situated on what? On desire, just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. So, this answers the point or the seeming contradiction that it's all the material nature, but yet the living entity is responsible because of the desires are coming from him. And because of our desires, we find ourselves in one situation or another in the material world. Peaceful, disturbed, this, that, upside down. I want this, successful, intelligent, not so intelligent, able to do this, able to do that, a real powerful person, a simple person. The whole universe is this tree, this banyan tree, this incredibly complex, not being able to tell where the beginning and the end is, this incredibly complex banyan tree of material existence. And the living entities, that means us, by the way, are jumping, moving from branch to branch to branch and branch and branch. Based on what? Based on their desires. Now, it's a very heavy point that our situation is based on our desire. That means if we desire, we could be with Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, we could be with Krishna in this relationship with Krishna, or that relationship with Krishna, or this one as a friend, or Madhuryaras, Sringaras. It's based on our desire. There are so many different relationships we can have with Krishna, and it's based on our desire. There's even Lord Ram. And also, similarly, based on our desire, we don't have to have a relationship with Krishna. We can live in the land of the reflection. Our situation is based on our desire. We can be really having a good time in the material world. A fast, big, big, big city, or a smaller city. I'm not sure where that one is. Anyone recognize it? Or in that wonderful city known as, anyone recognize Bombay? Now you recognize it. We could be struggling to get on a train. But whatever city we're in, there's always big problems. So I may think, oh, I desire to live in the country. But then after living in the countryside and farming for a while with all those oxen, the work is too hard, so I'll get myself a tractor. I want a tractor, and that's too much hard work. So I'd rather live by a wonderful beach and just swim and really enjoy myself. Now that would be fun, because what a great desire that is. And we could just swim all day long. And if I have that desire, this might be a more suitable body for me. And that desire sometimes brings us into very funny forms. I could live underwater all the time. And you can even surf, because there's the dolphins surfing and there's the humans surfing too. There's sometimes problems with these kind of desires though. But don't worry about it, because this is what forces us from one situation to another, because our situation in the material world is based upon what? our desires. Based on our desires. We're in these material bodies temporarily. Although it doesn't seem like it, we fully identify with whatever body we happen to be in at the moment. I think it's me, and in that body I try to enjoy as much as I possibly can according to the nature of my body, but it's temporary. And everybody, from a fly to a human, horse, etc., goes from birth through maturity, old age, and then dwindling, and then gone to another body based on one's desire. Dishtaya manasteyam visha upasevate. Based on desire. So if I didn't like that shark body, it was a little too gross, I could become these cute little, except there's one problem with them, the cat also likes them. So I think I might be able to become a cat and really enjoy like that. And if I become a cat, I might as well become really a big cat. And then if I can jump and really do what I want to do, and if I can jump, I might as well fly. So I could really fly. And if I'm flying, I could really enjoy. I could be a human and fly. We have all these desires situated. Whoops. Sometimes those helicopters can get those humans who like the water into trouble because the sharks. Yes, there's any kind of situation, but no situation. Oh, this is really a good one. This is the graduating class of IIT Kanpur, by the way. Really enjoy, if you get that kind of desire and that kind of intelligence, yes, Matajis are now allowed into IIT Kanpur, don't worry. Yes? And yes, because there you learn hard work, creativity, you get success. You can get yourself a really good job. That's what you desire. Yes, you might get a little entangled on the banyan tree of material life, but this tree will have really good fruit on it. Yes, we can really enjoy. And not only that, we can... Yes, there is some work, hard work involved in this kind of thing, but don't worry about it. It's all worth it because... Of course, in Australia, we have plastic money. Sometimes it feels a bit like a prison, I have to admit it. You have to go to the office, and the boss is like the guard, and he makes sure you get... If you're 5 minutes late, he gets very disturbed with you. And you do have to... yes, we have to get our little cells and we have to... It is a bit like that sometimes, and if you do something illegal, it really becomes like that. And there I am, I just wanted to enjoy myself, and I get caught in this net of material existence. And why is because it's very difficult when one is in the material world to tell the difference between the reflection and the real thing. But one gives us sustenance and the other doesn't. It's very difficult in the material world to tell the difference between the reflection and the real thing. We want our palace, but we end up with a reflection, and there is no substance there, because we're living in the land of reflection, jumping from one branch to another, and it's based on our desire. Now, as Srila Prabhupada said in his purport, the reflection of this reflection of the spiritual world, in other words, the material world, is situated on desire, just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. Desire, it's situated on our desire. Now, we should therefore, obviously, change the focus of our desiring from the reflection to the real tree. Now, the entirety, And that's what it means to be in the real world, not in the reflective world, is we have to please Krishna. So therefore, Krishna wanting us to understand this teaches us in the Bhagavad Gita to change our desire. Please, all together, read this one.
Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru.
Okay, who can tell me something from this verse? What does it mean? In English, one sentence, not the whole thing. One point. Raise your hand, I'll call on you. Yes, Aniguru Prabhu. Yes, manmana. Put your mind upon me, not on the reflection. Something else from this verse. Raise your hand. Yes? Huh? Worship me. Do you know, where is that there in the verse? Do you know? Madhyaji. Worship me. Don't worship the material energy. Yes, something else from the verse. Thank you. Yes, you put your mind on me and become my devotee. Because that will get you to the spiritual world, the reality. And mam namaskuru, what does that mean? And then mam evyasyati satyam te pratijane. What does mam evyasyati mean? You will come to me, and Krishna, and satyam means what? I promise. Pratijane means I promise. Two times Krishna says this. Because you are dear to me. Become a devotee of Krishna and become dear to Krishna. Make Krishna dear to you and you will become dear to Krishna. Please read. Someone. Read.
Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. That you will come to me without fail.
Without fail. Krishna promises that. You will come to reality, relationship with Krishna. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend, Krishna says. And then 66, all together, please. Okay. What does this verse mean? Who can say? Raise your hand, please. Raise your hand and I'll call on you. It makes it easier. Aniruddha Prabhu. Ma may come, Krishna says, because it's a matter of focusing one's desires. Focus your desires on Him. Yes. Aham tvam sarva papabhyo. I will free you from all the reactions to your current situation on the banyan tree of material existence. And you will come to me. I will liberate you, free you from all that. And not only free you, but bring you to me. And what does Masu Cha mean? Do not fear. What was it in Prabhupada's purport? What else did he say? Do not fear. Do not hesitate. And that's the Australian part. No worries. Just take shelter of Krishna. Okay. Next. Please read all together now. Now, this is the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. And the whole Vedic system is to bring us to this position. What verse in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say this? By the Vedas? Sanskrit? Vedas chasavar. Aham eva vedyo. By the Vedas, I am to be known. Vedanta Krit Veda Vid Shaham. I know this because I am Vedanta Krit. I've compiled Vedanta. And I know the Vedas as they are. Now, so the Vedas bring us there, but if we don't, if we're very fortunate and completely sincere, we go very quickly. And if we're a little less fortunate, we take a little, but yet, the Vedic system will bring us there. And the whole Vanashrama system and our spiritual life, it's a very rare person who is so completely fixed that I only see, I only want Krishna, I don't want anything else. Nothing else. Na janam, na dharam, na sundarim, kavitam, vajagadisa, tamani, mama jan. Not even liberation. I just want to please Krishna. So the Vedic system doesn't say everyone else goes to hell, but they give different varieties. You can go as quickly or a little bit more, but go in the right direction. One more. Yes, and also. And what we shouldn't do, obviously, is and let our desires take us in the opposite direction. And that's what the Vedas are teaching us, how we can sort of get there sort of quickly or gradually, but not let our desires degrade us and take us in the exact opposite direction from Krishna. Now, we've had a tour of the Bhagavad Gita here. Now, here's the question. What does all of this have to do with japa? Because this, after all, is a japa retreat. And Krishna willing, we will come up with an answer. And what to speak of in funnels? There's the funnel. And here comes one of the main messages of this presentation, that we go straight to Krishna. We have, some of us go a little bit this way, and some of us go a little bit this way, and some of us take a little more time, and we go a little bit like, and of course none of us go like this, and go in the opposite direction. So what does this have to do with our japa retreat here? Wait, go. We're ready for the next one now. Is that the Vedic system gradually funnels a follower's desire to the service of Krishna in the spiritual world. But not during japa. In japa, we won't have any funneling. We have all our desires, and gradually we'll come to Krishna, but not during japa. Because during japa, we should think about the holy names of Krishna. Because we should remember that here I am with my beads in my hand, and Krishna is there. And I may tend to go this way in my life, and I may tend to go that way in my life, but not during japa. We should try to chant Krishna's names with sincerity during japa. That is what I wanted to say, because this is a japa retreat. We should keep in mind Srila Prabhupada's words in the purport. This reflection of the spiritual world is situated on desire, just as a tree's reflection is situated on water. We want to increase our desire to be with Krishna. And that is what japa is for. If we want to say japa is for anything, it is to purify the heart so that we increase our desire to be with Krishna. All day long, generally, we're involved with so many different energies of Krishna on the banyan tree of the material world because of our desires. But during japa, we should try to be with Krishna. We should try our best to be with Krishna and purify our consciousness. We should, during this retreat specifically, we should try to our best to fix our minds on the holy name of Krishna. As we chant our japa during this retreat, we want to become serious about that point. During japa, because our minds, I can say from my own mind, it's used to jumping all over from one desire to the next desire, from thinking of the future, which is basically the mode of passion, to thinking of the past, which is basically the mode of ignorance, and staying away from sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, which keeps one basically in the present. And what am I doing at the present when I'm chanting japa? I'm chanting Krishna's names. I'm trying to be with Krishna. So if we have lots of passion and ignorance in our consciousness, of course it's going to be difficult. We can vow and vow and vow, but the modes of material nature are very, very strong. But if we try our best, sincerely try, specifically during this japa retreat, to understand what the issue is, and the issue is to be with Krishna while we chant his holy names and try our best, we do our part and then hope for Krishna's mercy. We spoke about this last night. And hope that if Krishna so desires, when he desires, he will give me some mercy because I'm trying my best. And trying our best is what we want to do during this japa retreat. And trying our best to do what? Basically, hear Krishna's names. There are so many levels of chanting, but this part we have some free will in, to try to focus our consciousness on Krishna's names as we chant. Now, this brings us to our last point here. Yes, one more. Here's the one other thing. And here's the one other thing over here. Not yet, but almost. This is a very important element here. This, you know what this is? What would you call this?
A box.
A box, a trunk, or something like that. Now, next. And we're going to keep it open over here. Remember in the beginning, we placed our whole life on that little four-quadrant little piece of paper? Well, for this japa retreat, I want you to forget about it. So everyone, take your paper and fold it up very carefully. If you want to write your name on it, you can. And for the retreat, you can deposit it in that box. And then what we're going to do is close it. And if we had a big chain, we could lock it up and no one's allowed to get it back until the rest of their lives back until the end of the retreat. But yes, take your paper and put it in there, and the last one, close it and turn out the lights. Yeah, just forget about it. Try to make your vow that during this retreat, during japa, that this doesn't have anything to do with you for now. Because your service is to be with Krishna as you chant Krishna's holy names. And there's Keshava Board. How did you do that?
Is it appropriate to do it on or is it going to distract
you? Yeah, just if you could just wait 5 minutes.
Oh, maybe I'll do it in the kitchen.
Yeah. We're almost finished. Oh. You know, disappear behind the everyone's life. Yeah. Okay. So while you're depositing your life in there, rest of your life in there, but just pray to Srila Prabhupada, pray to Gaunatai, pray to Radha and Krishna, pray to Lord Jagannath. Who else is there? Whose telegram is that? Wow. He's really well taken care of. You feed him well too, I bet too. Beautiful. I mean, everyone's. Who are the other telegrams? Who's taking care of them? Yeah, that's the one you take care of. Yeah. Huh? Where's Gira? So pray to the deities that they will help you. But you do your part and vow and try your best. Vow that when I'm chanting japa, even though my mind tends to wander, I'm going to try my best to bring it back and hear Krishna's holy name. This is our japa retreat. And there will be amazing results by the mercy of the holy name. Okay, this class is officially over when you have deposited your life in there and made your plea to Srila Prabhupada and the deities. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So then there's Prasadam, and then at 11 o'clock we'll have 10 o'clock kirtan, and today's 32 rounds. And we'll have time, but 11 o'clock we'll have our second class, and please come to the kirtan too. And the heart will become very, very soft and fertile for when we're chanting. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ki Radhavallabha ki jai. Ki Radhavallabha bhaktavinoda ki jai. So take this seriously with your vow and your life and your prayer.